So you're jumping from Facebook to Instagram DMs to LinkedIn to Meetup, just trying to find one investor who's actually building their investment portfolio.
Yep. And meanwhile, you're wasting your time networking with other investors who aren't aligned with your goals. Sound familiar?
Well, that's about to change. We have built Investor Plus, a one-stop platform for investors to make deeper connections and to build wealth.
This is not just about effective networking. We've built a clear success path to take you from where you are now to where you want to go. From mastering the market with our ebook, Market Master, to laying the foundation your business needs to grow with our on-demand course, Real Estate Fundamentals, you will gain the knowledge and the confidence to grow your portfolio.
Investor Plus launches January the 14th, and it will transform the way you connect with others. Start investing in yourself today. Click on the link below to join the waiting list.
Today, we're talking why motivation is not enough to build true wealth. We have a recipe for you. All the women out there that don't know how to cook, here we go. We have a recipe for you. Three things: knowledge, skills, and support. So get a piece of paper and a pen and let's get to work.
Welcome to the Investor Podcast. I'm Liz Faircloth.
And I am your co-host, Andressa Gadelli. So Liz.
Yes, I love this topic.
Let me just do a disclaimer right before we get started here. I love like motivational quotes. I share a lot of them. I love going to conferences where the speaker just like pumps me up.
That you could do anything and be anything you want, right?
Such an American thing, right? You can do anything.
It is really an American thing. Don't make fun of us Americans.
But here's how I see it. I see it like fading away. You can go to a conference, get super motivated, but if there's not a recipe that sustains that, it kind of like fades away. You can listen to a podcast, you can read this quote, and it will last a couple of minutes. You do not remember the freaking quote that you read that you thought was amazing that was last week unless you tattoo on your arm, right? You won't remember it. So motivation is just very superficial. It's like a, I see like a little cloud. You know, when you're cooking and you, how you call when you are like the egg part.
The yolk?
Yeah, and you bid that up, like how you call
it. Whisking
that?
It?
Whisking it.
Yeah, we would not do a good job if we were playing on a game and we were trying to catch each other.
Sure, right?
We would lose, but
it's just
on.
Fluffy and yes. Right? Motivation is that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I would say one step further is that motivation alone is empty, right? Because if you get the motivation, if you get inspired, that's the spark. And that's something to honor and appreciate. But just you can't stop there. And that's why this episode's so important to really, okay, how am I going to actually create the wealth that I just got so inspired, you know, to want and to have? So love this. Let's jump in.
Number one is knowledge. And there are different ways to gain knowledge. You can do it on your own by listening to a podcast, books, watching YouTube videos, doing workshops, and going through that journey on your own. And you can leverage other people's experiences and the time that they put in, right? Somebody did put in 10 years of experience there, and now you are partnering up with that person or you're being mentored by that person. So when that happens, you're buying their time and their experience. That's basically what that is. And there's no right or wrong here. It's just a matter of what path do you want and what path do you need to? A lot of women don't have the time to go through that transition period. And to be quite honest, we're not interested, right? Depending on your age and what's going on with your family, there are other priorities versus let me learn this new strategy on my own and make the mistakes that I need. So 10 years down the road, I feel really good about it. We want to bypass it. So we want to gain the knowledge and gain the access to that knowledge pretty quickly so we avoid making the same mistakes that other people made it. It's just a choice of evaluating where you are at and what do you need and how you're going to acquire that knowledge that is necessary.
And I think that's the key, right? It's like, what is the knowledge that I need to learn myself? And how can I accelerate that knowledge by the power of proximity? Because there's really two layers of the power of proximity. It's mentors, people who've already been there and done that. It's also peers, though, because your peer, in a sense, can also be able to help you through a challenge or an issue. Because I could be more open with you on Jessa versus maybe someone who I want to look good and make sure I ask the right questions. So I think not acquiring knowledge is multifaceted, and it can't just be from one source. That's the power of proximity, of being around the right people, not only doing the same things that you're doing, that are a few steps ahead, potentially in a few areas of knowledge that you need to gain. And it's ever evolving, right? And just, it's not like you get all the knowledge and you're like, I'm good. No, it's evolving because the market changes, strategies change, your financial goals change.
But here's the thing, though. I think people get very confused about the difference between information and knowledge. People gain a lot of information, meaning they're getting what it is, this strategy.
You mean like facts or data or
facts, data? That's not knowledge. I believe, from my point of view, that knowledge is when you digest it. And then when you take an action, and then becomes knowledge. I am knowledgeable on how to drive a car. I don't think about it. I just do it, right? Versus how to drive a shift car, right? We're going to do that one time with you, Liz.
Oh, God, you don't want me doing that. You don't even like driving with me.
That
or you don't
correct.
Actually, so, you don't ever drive with me anymore.
All right, we derail people. Let's come
derail.
Back. Here's what we were trying to make sure. You gain the knowledge, right? You gain the information there. But it's the knowledge to become solid. It leads to my second recommendation here, which are the skills. There is no way you're going to gain a skill if you don't practice, if you don't take action. So knowledge without action is just a fluffy cloud wasted of time. So here's what's happening nowadays. And I hear a lot of experienced women that have built successful business, and right now they're facing different challenges in the market, and they are afraid to call sellers because they want to make sure they have all the answers. They don't want to screw up the call. Mm-hmm. They don't want to feel that they were not prepared for it. And they want to make sure that the deals, go along and they close the deal. So here's what I recommend. If that's you, right? And you can apply this to anything, something that you know you should do, but you're not doing because of X, Y, and Z. You can insert your reasoning for it. Give yourself a practice time. Let's say in this case here, I'm giving you permission to screw up 50 sellers. Think about it. You are going to commit to call 50 sellers and go through a conversation with them about them selling their property. My only request is that after the fifth one, that when they curse you out and hang up on your face, that you continue because you committed to 50. You're not committing to close a deal within 50. This is just a practice time. And I guarantee you, by the 20th, 25th time, you have gained a lot of knowledge. You know exactly what are the pieces of knowledge that you are missing that you need to have it. You're going to understand what people care about, what they don't care about. You're really not going to care if they curse you out and hang on the phone on you. You're just going to go next because that's the goal. That's the practice. You're not going to close 50 deals. That's not even the goal here. The goal is to practice. And by the time you're 50, I guarantee you, you're going to have the skill set that you need to communicate with people. That is what this real estate is all about, isn't it?
I love that. I have another layer of skill development. So often people are in networking meetings and just connecting with people at an investor meetup or, any meetup that's out there or an event. And they talk about the strategy. They'll ask questions. Hey, how did you get going with this or that?
Give me an example, though. What are you talking about?
Let me get to my point.
I believe
that as we're developing our own knowledge, our own skills, we're asking people the wrong questions. So when you meet somebody who's doing seller financing or creative financing or getting container homes in their backyard, whatever strategy they're employing these days, instead of asking like the how and the what and or even just talk about yourself, Ask them what skills they had to learn and acquire to be successful in that strategy. So then you could work on that skill. The point I'm trying to make here is that skills are actually going to, you know, really allow you to be effective by having them or by acquiring them from someone else. But we don't often ask people who are actually doing that strategy or doing that or who've been there and done that, what skill they've needed to learn and master. And then what are they doing now? What skills are they learning now? They might surprise you and say negotiation or financial analysis or leadership.
Here's the point. Regardless of the strategy, there are some skills that is
core
like 101. Right.
Yeah, of course.
So let's talk about those skills for a second. I think that what I see here is like business development. I think that we a lot of investors underestimate what it takes to build a sustainable business behind the scene. Your accounting department, your acquisition, your marketing, your sales department. And if you are a one person, you're like, I don't have anything to sell. Yes, you do, yourself and your project. You don't have anything to market. Yes, you do. Your background and how you're going to present your deals. You are marketing already. You just don't know about that, independently of how small or how big you are. So the building a sustainable business and hiring people and all the systems and process that go behind it. I think a lot of investors focus a lot on the strategy and they forgot about building the skill set needed to not just build a investment business, but build any business that they are interested in. And then the other one you mentioned, negotiation, right? I don't know if like this should be like on Rich Dad Poor Dad chapter in every single book, negotiation skills and really like practicing that over and over again. So we don't feel like mad when people negotiate with us. We're like, okay, I know this game. Oh, I like it. Let's play this game. It is just simple as that. I have learned negotiation from working with somebody that negotiated every single damn thing. And it was just part of the process. And everybody is just expected to negotiate no matter what, even if he got the number that he wanted. So it was just part of the process. I think that we see negotiation. I don't know. What's your opinion on that, Liz? I think a lot of people see negotiation as a disrespectful act or a annoying, like I don't want to deal with this. Why do you have to do this? You are devaluing me if you negotiate with me.
Yeah, we had that experience last week, right? We were negotiating with a meeting space person, and I said, I'm going to ask this, and I don't forget. But I think you're right. I think negotiation, and it's a layers of negotiation. I think to be an effective, not just an effective investor, but an effective leader, an effective entrepreneur, I don't know anyone that has built something sustainable and successful on their own terms. Without negotiating, without asking for what you want and need, without putting, you know, your needs first. And I see it all the time, right? The women in our community, they're not negotiating. They're just taking what is given to them. And that is not going to build your wealth, right? That's not going to set you up for success. It happens time and time again. We think we're less than, and we accept these scraps. I always say, right? The scraps are given. And so negotiation is a skill to protect yourself. So scraps are not given to you, but what is due, what is fair and equitable is given. And not taking advantage of anyone, but what rightfully is yours. I think that's fair. It's not just the right thing. It's what's fair for you and you as you build your wealth, right? But it's hard. I think there's a lot of pieces around that for people, Andressa. And it's a process. It's a practice.
It's a practice. That's all we're saying here. Skills, you don't gain those skills if you're not practicing and screwing up. You will know when you screw up. Negotiation, right? And Liz and I have screwed up several negotiations. And then we are like really mindfully like, who is negotiating it? Why we are negotiating it? What is a strategy? We play the next 3-5 steps further. We're not playing the next move. I'm playing the next 3-5 steps further. And I'm making some assumptions as I'm playing chess. That's the goal here. So the final skill here that I want to talk about is communication. And it's funny, right? Liz and I'm talking as if you're not here in front of me.
You're cute. I'm like, I'm right here, Jess. I'm talking right
to all the people that are listening here.
Listen,
we have been seeing this so much. People are afraid to get on the phone and talk to people. And I think that's a big problem nowadays. People are communicating with their vendors, their contractors, their team members, you name it. American Airlines, right?
Yeah,
through
anybody.
Text and emails, right? And the first thing that I'm talking to a team member that cannot get a hold of X, Y, and Z, and I say, did you call this person? And they're like, no, I mailed them 3 times. Call the freaking person, for God's sake. And if they're not available, ask what time they will be available to talk and schedule a time to talk. Right. And many times I see full conversations happening on text message. People are like, I use this term and I don't even know if it's appropriate or not. But
vomiting the brain.
Yeah.
I can play this. We will be good on a game.
Guess the word that we will be going to be
Guess
good.
The word.
Guess what Andres is trying to say. Right. Vomiting the brain. People are vomiting their brains on text messages and on emails. I swear. If you send me an email with like five paragraphs or even like one single paragraph, which is my nightmare, I will respond that I will not read that. I will not read a text message that is like, if I have to scroll your text message, I ain't reading it. Because I think it's fully disrespectful to do not process your thoughts, regulate your emotions, and communicate it clearly with the other person. And process it. And I think I take it for granted the what we have established as our communication. When there is a breakdown, you and I really communicate. We talk about it. We process it together. We take responsibility. And we establish what we are going to do individually and as a company in order to prevent that from happening in the future. And I think that I take that for granted, but I do expect that all over the people that I do business with and I have any relationship with, that we process it. Even my son, he knows now we're going to process things. But I think this is a communication skill that we are in the people's business, right? If you like or don't like people, real estate is all about people. So the communication, some people that I come across, they're very, very successful. They suck at communication. They shouldn't be sending an email out at all to anybody. And I think people underestimate that.
I think that's a great point. I think a good, something to ask yourself as you're listening to this, it's a really simple question. Do you over-communicate or under-communicate? And then your kind of strategy moving forward would be something different. So if you're an over communicator and that's something that you're mindful of, and it's
how do I know I am over?
They're the ones writing the emails that you just said. If you're writing emails and you tend to like process all your thoughts on paper and you like to be more verbal with people and you give more words than you probably need to, you're an over communicator.
And what's the risk when people do that? Because in their defense, right? They are sharing exactly what they're thinking.
Well, I think there's a time and place for it, right? So if you're a verbal communicator, you do process your ideas verbally and outwardly. So do that. Find resources to do that. Find people to do that. Pay a therapist. Have a friend. Talk to yourself. I talk to my dog often. But then when you really want to communicate clearly with someone, you've gotten some of that out. So you're really clear with that other person and get, quite honestly, get what you want and need. That's what we all ultimately are after. That's the point of why you put a lot of words in an email. You're really just trying to get something, but that's not going to get you something. So I also think over-communicators also over-plan calls. They jump on the phone. That's the new thing. Can we jump on the phone together? I'm not jumping on. I like jumping. I'm not jumping on the phone with everyone. Not doing that. I don't do that anymore.
Unless
I know why I'm talking to that person and there's a good intentionality of it, because then we're all wasting time. So that's the recipe for an over-communicator. Under-communicator, you probably don't give enough feedback and communicate enough to people. You're probably, and maybe not having those conversations, those tougher conversations like, hey, this is what's coming up for me. This could be done a little differently. You might be avoiding some of those conversations.
But they are happening inside their own head, right?
They're happening inside of the head. So it's good to know where you are and to say, what's a skill, right? How can I shift the skill so I can acquire the knowledge I need and acquire the other skills I need so I can move towards building wealth? It all comes back to communication, bottom line.
And I think having somebody, right, either a business coach or somebody that can process all those situations with you as they are happening is super valuable, right? How to fire and hire somebody. You want to have peers that have fired and hired over and over again. So you don't feel like, oh my gosh, I hire a VA and it didn't work. I really suck at hiring based on one assumption, right?
Yep.
And so you bounce ideas with other people that have been doing it and that can provide you a different perspective. So you are not just making assumptions based on your own experience. All right, let's go to the third one, support. When I say support, I'm talking about a support system. I'm not saying have people around you that you can just simply ask for help. Women love to help and hate to get helped.
That's the truth.
That's the truth. We have seen it over and over again. They are super happy to help you, but they will die alone and do not ask for help because that doesn't jive in their head, right? So we're not proposing that you keep asking for help. We are requesting that you put in place a support system where there are a mutual agreement that people will give and people will take. So it's a give and take, right? The challenge here is that many support systems, if you're listening to this episode, you are somebody that is committed to your self-development. And you have put yourself in situations and groups of people where you are the one pouring into other people and nobody's pouring into you because you have the most experience, you have the most emotional intelligence, and you go, the list goes on and on. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about where you put yourself in a circle where other women, they're like, oh shit, I need to get my stuff together because look at her and vice versa. And then you are helping her with different things. You want to put yourself in a support system where you don't have a lot of people that say yes to you simply because they don't want to hurt your feelings. You want people to say no to you or to challenge your own thoughts. That's when you know you are on the right circle.
Yeah. And I'd say having that support network, having that friend who will love you unconditionally, doesn't matter what you're doing, is helpful in its own place, right? It's like this unconditional support. So we're not saying throw those people out. But if you're going to her saying, hey, I want to get a HELOC on my house, she's going to look at you with five heads. She's like, well, I don't know what a HELOC is. So what are you doing this weekend, right? And then the subject changes to something that they feel comfortable with. That's not going to help you build your wealth. You have to be around people who are aligned with your goals and that give you this unconditional love and support. I think all the circles are relevant in your life, but I think people have just that one circle that just say yes to you and say, that's great. And it doesn't matter what you're saying. Oh, and then you beat yourself up and then they just let you go by and not really hold you accountable. Like you need people that hold you accountable, that say no, that challenge you, and that are doing different things that are aligned with your goal of building wealth. Because there's not one way.
I want to go one step further, right? Because I have been part of different types of circles that they're very beneficial. But I'll be honest, just between you and I, Liz, nobody's listening.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I want to hang out with them.
It's a good point, too. That's a good point, too.
Like would I invite them to go to the beach?
Different circles for different purposes.
Correct.
Yeah.
I think that the key here also is like different circles for different purposes. And how cool we would be, right? Might as well ask for the best. If the circle that I am building wealth with, I also like those people. Because we probably have very similar lifestyles, very similar mindset. And I am vulnerable with them and they are vulnerable with me. So we also have a bond, a friendship that goes beyond the circle itself. That it's not necessarily just that because they know what I'm going through in my personal relationship, in my health. that are not related to business too. That is the ultimate dream of anybody. Because as we get older, I don't know about you, Liz, but I am like very limited on who I want to have on my friendship circle. I am not going around as like, yeah, you want to be my friend, not doing that, right? Quite opposite. So it's very selective and very mindful of who is the person around me. And for those of you that were part of InvestorCon, we did an exercise about the five people, how is important, right? So do an audit. Who are the five people that are around you right now? Rank them, and you are the average of them, right? Sometimes you have zero in so many spots because you don't have that person there. So finding that circle, really mindfully and strategically finding it, pouring into it, playing the arena, right? We say all the time, you've got to play in the arena with other people that are playing the arena. Then it's just like, there's no way. If you follow those three things, knowledge, the skills, and support, building wealth is just inevitable.
Yeah. And it keeps going. The circle keeps going. New knowledge, new skills, new support, right? It doesn't end at the support and then you just stay there. It's actually continuous. I'm learning new things, acquiring new skills so I can continue to build my wealth. Same with you, Andressa, right?
Absolutely.
Just different skills, different knowledge, different skills, different support. But that's why we created Investor, so we can continually be that support for you.
Let us know what you think. Share your comments on our Facebook group and let us know how we can support your journey. We are here for you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much.
If you enjoyed this podcast and want to receive updates on our next interviews, go to our website, therealestateinvestor.com. There, you can subscribe to our show, become part of our investor community, and get updates on upcoming episodes.
If you like our show, please share with other women who would benefit. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And as always, we encourage you to take one action as a result of today's show and put it into motion so you can live both a financially free and balanced life. Thanks for spending time with us.
Ciao.